Blog Talk Radio.
You miss me? I miss all of y'all. Hey. All y'all girls standing together like that. Keep shaking.
Tuning into tonight's BYGP Locker Room Show. My name is Ashley Goodman, and tonight I'll be speaking with Mr. Jay Foreman. Jay was a standout linebacker at University of Nebraska and was drafted in 1999 in the fifth round by the Buffalo Bills. Jay went on to play for the Texans, the Giants, and the 49ers, and played a total of 8 seasons in the NFL. He's also the son of Chuck Foreman, who is a star running back in the NFL, playing for the Vikings and the Patriots. Jay currently is staying busy as a business owner, his foundation educating both youth and adults about diabetes, and during the football season, he works with the Houston Texans and University of Nebraska as a football analyst. Jay, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Good. Well, we appreciate you coming on and taking the time to speak with us, and we're going to get right into it. My first thing is I have to ask, what was it like growing up with your dad being, you know, a star athlete and all?
Oh, it was interesting. I had good points and bad points, but I think definitely it made me mature a lot faster, but I didn't really, I guess, appreciate it or really know how big a celebrity he was until I got old enough to kind of really understand the whole thing, concept about football and stuff like that. So, I probably appreciated it more as I gotten older.
When was it that you kind of realized that your dad was, you know, someone special and people admired him for what he did?
I think it was like fourth grade. I think he came in and picked me up at school and everybody was like, oh, here comes Chuck Foreman. I was like, almost like, who is that? But I was like, that's just my dad. And then a kid was like, hey, do you know who your dad is? I was like, yeah, he's my dad. They were like, no, he's a famous football player. And I was like, oh.
So he never talked to you about what he did or anything of that nature?
No, not really. He kept football and stuff kind of separate. To be honest with you, I think, not that he didn't want me to play football. I think he just wanted me to really, really want football to be my choice because he knew everybody would try to be pushing me towards football. So he kind of tried to do the regular father-son thing as much as possible.
So that brings me to my next point. Did you feel at all any pressure? I mean, you found out kind of somewhat in the fourth grade who your dad was, but did that put any pressure on you to play football?
Not really. I always liked football, and it was kind of one of those things that, you know, I knew he played, so I was like, hey, look, I kind of have to play. And then they always put me at running back just because he played. And it was just kind of one of those things. There wasn't a lot of pressure. There was probably more pressure. There wasn't any pressure coming from him. There was probably more pressure coming from, you know, everybody else. But I didn't really feel the pressure just because my dad always said, look, if you go out there and play hard, as hard as you can, results will come. And that's the way I always looked at it going into every football season.
Did your dad let coaches pretty much coach you, or was he kind of one of those parents that would help you out when you needed it? But, you know, how strong was he as a parent versus a parent coach?
He never really stepped in. The only time he ever really stepped in is if, you know, they tried to make an example out of me, and that was probably only like one time, and then maybe one time in college. You know, I had a college coach that, for whatever reason, you know, was jealous of my dad and kind of didn't want me to, you know, go to the next level. So he never really stepped in. I'm pretty sure, you know, his presence was felt just because of who he is, but he never really got in. He wasn't one of those parents that was calling the coach and saying, "Give my son the ball," and stuff like that. So he more or less just always respected the coaches. He just wanted everybody to be on the same even playing field.
Was your parents really big on education? Did they push that hard on you?
Yeah, my dad obviously, you know, he graduated and was obviously, you know, pretty intelligent, you know, SAT score wise. I think he was up there in the 90th percentile, but he always told me when I went to college, you know, don't come home with a general studies degree. It was more or less, you know, get your degree that you're going to be able to use, you know, after football, you know, because football's not forever. And I'll see, you know, growing up and seeing, you know, him experience that stuff and go through it, you know, you realize football isn't forever. And he made me well aware of that at an early age.
So you attended Eden Prairie High School in Minnesota. Did you grow up in Minnesota?
All my family's from a place called Frederick, Maryland. So while he was playing, and then earlier on in my life, I was living there. Then we moved to Minnesota full time to Eden Prairie. My first year, I went to Eden Prairie High School. Then my sophomore and half of my junior year, I went to a high school called rival high school, actually called Minnetonka High School, excuse me. And then I finished up my senior year or half of my junior year and senior year at Eden Prairie High School. So Minnesota has a thing called open enrollment, so you can get the, you know, whether it's a ride or the busing system, if you can get to a high school, you can go to any high school you want. You know, I had a pretty bad experience as a freshman with the varsity coach that was there at Eden Prairie. And then, you know, decided, I had a lot of friends that went to Minnetonka, so, you know, we decided to switch. And then Coach Grant, who was Mike Grant, who was Bud Grant's son, so kind of the same thing. Bud Grant's a famous football coach. Took over the Eden Prairie program, so it was always a natural fit for me to move back, and it worked out pretty well.
So, did you play varsity as a freshman, or were you on JV?
No, I was on the freshman team as a freshman, and then my sophomore year in Minnetonka, they wanted to move me up to start me on varsity. But my dad, I never lifted weights, so my dad felt like they wanted me to play receiver and kind of rotate at running back. And so my dad felt it was better for me to play sophomore football and get as many carries as I can, you know, obviously physically mature and stuff like that. Now, when the decision was made, I knew I was good enough to play varsity. So, you always want to be the young kid that's playing all with the seniors. But my dad, he had vision probably, you know, obviously a lot longer than I did, knowing that I would get more carries, play with the guys that I knew, gained more confidence, and he knew that I had 2 years to play varsity. So he felt that was better for me, especially when they wanted me to play wide receiver versus running back, because I wouldn't have been getting as many touches. So essentially I would have been wasting myself on, you know, being up there in varsity.
Yeah. So then what do you think? Did you switch over your junior year into defense?
No, I didn't play any defense in high school. Let me extend it correctly. I played a couple games in high school and defense at safety when we had our quarterback got hit. And that's pretty much how I got my scholarship. We were playing Lane Kiffin, and they had about three Division I guys on our team, and all the coaches were there to watch them on their homecoming. And so I felt like, hey, look, if I ever want to, you know, seal the deal on getting a big-time scholarship, I got to, you know, show out. So I went and knocked a couple guys out that game and scored, you know, two or three touchdowns and had over 100 yards and was very dominant in that game.
Wow.
And so then I think that game kind of sealed the deal for me as far as being, I guess, a guaranteed Division I athlete. So, and then after that, I went to Nebraska. They wanted me to play wing back. And I think back then they, you know, the leading receiver had like 27, 28 catches. And I always wanted to play defense, so it was kind of one of those things I was always intrigued by, to play defense. And I knew, I watched a lot of football growing up, so I kind of, you know, knew how to play a little bit and just kind of felt like I was a football player. and, you know, not playing any defense in high school, made the challenge of going over to defense in college, you know, one that was, you know, it was hard, but I was looking forward to it because, you know, I didn't want to, you know, be a blocking dummy for the running backs playing wing back in college.
Yeah. Did you have the discussion with college coaches as they were approaching you about recruiting that you felt like you would want to switch over to defense, or was that something that coaches brought to your attention?
Some wanted me to play running back. So it just depends on the school. When I you know, Nebraska, they had Lawrence Phillips, you know, Clint Childs, you know, they had some pretty established, you know, running backs, and I knew I wasn't as developed as they were, so it took me, you know, maybe 3-4 years to catch up with them, and they were pretty dominant. I think Lawrence was, you know, a freshman or going into a sophomore year starting, so I knew that, at the best case scenario, I'm not getting on the field until, 3 years from then, so, and then they had, you know, they're always constantly bringing guys in, so other schools want me to play running back, some of them want me to play receiver. But, you know, when I signed on with Nebraska, you know, they were a lot of them were talking to me, or they were talking to me a lot about playing wing back, but I don't know, for whatever reason, they said they liked me on defense, and they saw a couple games, they liked my closing speed, and then I got to move down to linebacker, and I got a redshirt year to mature, obviously get bigger, stronger, and faster, and then just by chance, I got lucky enough that the guy that started before me was a senior, so... And nobody behind him had any significant playing time or established himself. So then, therefore, going in the spring, it was a free, it was open competition, and so I beat everybody out in the spring, and the rest is history.
Nice. Okay. So then, I do know your dad did go to University of Miami. Was that somewhat a big push for you to kind of carry that torch, or did they give you that leeway of picking your own school?
No, I mean, I wanted to go to Miami really bad, and you know, it was just one of those things that they offered me the first day. Back then, they could call you and offer you the first day. And and then I didn't hear much from them from then, or, you know, after that. So other schools started to step up and step in and started to, you know, pursue me, and then I didn't know whether, you know, how serious of an offer it was. So then, therefore, you know, Nebraska obviously started recruiting me hard, and I kind of, Miami went to the wayside, and then they went on probation for, you know, one of the things, they were giving people too much money in their Pell grants. So then that made it easier, because I knew that, you know, me being this, you know, being from Minnesota, going down to Florida, competing with Florida kids, even though I knew I could play, if the competition was even, they were going to play a Florida kid over me, and then, you know, not being on TV. You know, I always wanted to make sure my dad could see me, even if I was playing on special teams. So it was just one of those things that Nebraska stepped up. I felt at home, and then also it didn't hurt that it was the closest place to home.
So then what would you tell, you know, young athletes out there that are listening in, and they have their heart set on a school, like you had your heart set on Miami, but they're just not pushing them as hard as probably other schools are. How long should you really wait for that opportunity, or how do you balance that?
It's one of those things that, you know, it's hard to, you know, balance when you should make a decision. You know, you just have a good support system. And I was fortunate enough that my dad and I had uncles that were all, you know, back then schools could offer, you know, tons of kids scholarships. So I had a lot of family members that went to Division One, and my uncles went to, or one went to Cincinnati and one went to Miami, and then I had other, I guess they weren't uncles, but close family friends that went on the Division One. So I had a good support system and people pushing me the right way when it came to doing that, and so that was what really helped me, and that's what really helped me make any type of decision as I was, you know, growing up through high school and the first parts of college. So I was fortunate in that sense, but, you know, really, the game and the landscape of sports has changed so much. It's hard to, even though I have such a good support system, it didn't really pay off a lot because the game had changed so much. It's more political, money driven. You know, now in college, it's all about the stars and, you know, what you're ranked and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So then, what type of advice, now looking back, is, I mean, now you're an analyst for University of Nebraska, so you're looking at it from a different point of view, but what would you tell young athletes that are going in this process, just some advice, some helpful advice that you don't think that they're hearing so much?
Well, the biggest thing is go to a place that, one, you would feel comfortable living after you get done playing college sports, because look, this, you know, the numbers that will never change is like a little bit over 1%. I think maybe it's 1.1% get to go on to the NFL, and it's even less than that get that last long enough to get the pension. So don't go into college thinking that college is a stepping stone to the NFL. Go to college that you want to go somewhere where you're going to get the best education and get the best opportunity to play. And then if you're fortunate enough to go to the next level, you have to make sure that you're comfortable at a university where after you're done playing, whether it's college or pros, that you'll be able to, you know, come back and live, and you feel comfortable with doing it. And that's first and foremost one. And then another thing is obviously you want to get the best education that you can. And, you know, everybody's selling education now, so that's kind of should be standard as far as helping kids graduate. But, you know, get a degree that fits your personality. And then number three is when you go to college, arrive with the mindset that you're going to network and meet as many people as you can outside of football, because when you're done playing football, those are going to be the people that are going to be able to offer you jobs, that are going to have the businesses and stuff that you might want to go work for or to learn your way in the business world. And that's one thing that a lot of football players don't really understand, just because you're so encapsulated with your team and, you know, getting ready for the game, you don't know how to expand yourself outside of the, you know, the football team. And that's what hurts some guys when they're trying to make that career transition, because, you know, if people thought about how bad they want that job, I mean, as a football player to get a job, you have to think that the people when they were meeting you in college and you were the star football player, that's how bad they would want to hang out with you and just hear some of the stories. So you have to be able to let your guard down and meet some new people, because it will pay a lot of dividends in the future.
Did you have while in college? Did you have a part time job, or did you work at all during college?
We were able to work, I think, my junior and senior year, and I worked, you know, Gallup. I did everything, you know, clean toilets, you know, clean the playground for the kids, you know, when they had daycare, you know, move desks and everything like that. I was pretty much a janitor. So, you know, it was a good experience. I met some good people, and still a couple of people that I met when I was working for them in college, I still know now and still consider them friends.
So that's really key for guys that are listening out there, is to make your connections, you know, while you can. Football is definitely a way to translate and get your opportunities off the field as well. So use it, max it out as much as you possibly can. So then, Jay, tell me, what was Nebraska, why did the environment, why did the field feel just right to you that you decided to go there?
Well, first and foremost, they were the ones, they really preached academics and graduating kids, and they had, you know, around 90-some percent. They spent, you know, a full morning on me and what I wanted to get accomplished academics, and they talked to me, you know, they didn't say, they just weren't pushing me towards a general studies degree. They were pushing me towards whatever I wanted, and then they explained to me the different ways that they'd go about helping me graduate. That's first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, at that point in time, they were either winning the Big 8 championship or right in the hunt every year. So I felt like, hey, I wanted to go somewhere where, you know, they have a winning tradition, and that's what it was, Nebraska. And then three, I was the proximity, obviously being close. You know, I grew up in Minneapolis, only being 5.5 hours. You know, my dad could realistically come to every game. And then four, you know, Coach Osborne came to my house when they were in the national title hunt, and that let me know how serious they were about Jay Foreman as, you know, the kid or the person. And so that was, you know, a big deal to me. And I never forgot about that when it came to, when I came down to making my decision, because I felt like, you know, they felt that I was that good, that they, you know, Coach Osborne would come up during a national title race and come to my house and, you know, recruit me and tell me how important it was for me to come to this university.
Yeah, that definitely shows some commitment on their end. So that's a great four examples of why you chose Nebraska as your home. How did you feel when your family did drop you off on campus and to start this whole new chapter in life? What was your feelings like?
No, I mean, I wanted to get out of the house. I was ready to go, you know, and I wanted to go and experience college. I mean, obviously, my dad ran a pretty tight ship, so I was figuring out, hey, look, this is time to a new experience. And like I said, I didn't go to college expecting or even thinking about going to the NFL. So I just want to go down and fit in and hopefully by my senior year get a chance to play. Now, obviously, things progress a lot faster. But I do remember when he dropped me off, he pretty much told me don't come home without graduating. So that was something that I always thought about, you know, every day when I got up, is I got to do, you know, just as good in school as I did on the field.
What was your aspirations if you didn't go NFL?
Well, I mean, really, to be honest with you, it's quite simple. And obviously, you know, I would have probably figured it out, you know, in college if I had to. But I just wanted to get to college, get to a good university. I know I was going to be a business major. And so eventually I wanted to run my own business in some sort. But I wanted to work for somebody prior to that. So I just wanted to – my whole goal, honestly, was to go to college. Obviously graduate first and foremost and work as hard as I can to be able to play or even be a starter by my senior year. And things obviously worked the total opposite. I ended up starting 4 years as a freshman. I still graduated, but, you know, I put enough time in on the field, and I knew kind of like going into my junior year, I had a pretty good shot of maybe getting a shot at the next level. So, you know, the goals changed, but then you have to restart those goals after you get done playing football.
Now, where were you at and who were you with when you did end up getting that call from the Bills letting you know that they were going to draft you in the fifth round?
Oh, I was at my grandma's house in Frederick, Maryland, and we had the whole family over there. So I went the second day, late in the fifth round, so we had the whole family around. It was a family celebration. It was pretty fun. You know, as excited I was to get drafted, I still was kind of ticked off a little bit because I went a little bit later than I originally thought I would. So I was, you know, excited for everybody else, but then I knew I had to. I knew that there was, you know, work to be done because I knew I had a chip on my shoulder when I went into training camp.
Do you think having that chip on your shoulder is I mean, I think it's a decent thing to have going into an environment like that. Do you think that actually helps you in a way?
Yeah, no, I mean, no doubt. You have to go into training camp because, you know, in college, you have, you know, your coaches and your friends, your kids that you came in with for 5 years. When you go into training camp, in the NFL training camp, you're going against grown men that are feeding their families based on, you know, how they play. So, you know, you have to have that mental edge. Every day is a fight. Every day you have to be able to push yourself. And so by me going in there with, you know, somewhat of a good chip on my shoulder, I think it helped me out in the long term. As far as I never forgot that feeling of what it felt like to wait that long, and then I never forgot the feeling of what it felt like to finally get drafted as well.
So then you got to the NFL. Was it everything that you imagined as a kid?
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, but I knew it obviously didn't last forever. You know, the players were just as good as advertised, and it was a lot faster. But, you know, your body naturally adjusts and your mind naturally adjusts. It's either you gotta keep up or you get left. You know, the only thing that I probably would say that was a little bit of a downer was I'd probably say that I got more fine-tuning coaching in college. Now, and granted, I was fortunate enough to go to Nebraska, so we had probably one of the best coaching staffs in the nation. So,
yeah.
I was probably a little bit ahead of the game going into the pros and a lot of kids, but that was probably the only downer. But it was everything I thought it was and then some.
So then describe that first time running out of the field. How did that moment feel for you, running out of the field?
It was a lot of different emotions of relief and excitement. Kind of, you know, congratulations yourself, you get there. But then, you know, the game starts so much quicker in the NFL than the college. Everything's on time. You got TV, you got sponsorships, they got to get paid. So you can't sit there and rest on your laurels because, you know, you got to really get focused on the game. So it was really just a quick celebration for yourself, and then it was like, okay, now I got to go do what I got to do.
Now, how do you see, I mean, the game, like you're describing, it's getting so much faster. Athletes are just crazy athletic now, but it's not just that they're athletic, they're bigger, they're faster, and they're stronger. How do you think over the years that has kind of changed the game of football compared to like the guys played and stuff?
Yeah, it's a little bit different. I mean, it's obviously faster. I mean, it's the evolution of the human body. But, I mean, from when I played to now, I don't really perceive it as that much faster. I think there's probably more depth of bigger guys that are faster. I think the football players are worse now as far as playing the game. But what has really made the game, I guess, more perceived to be faster is how aggressive offenses are. And then obviously with the defensive limitations, it's allowing the offenses to be more aggressive. But then you're getting guys like Calvin Johnson. You don't see those guys. You know, Randy. We had Randy Moss. Now you have Calvin Johnson. So you're getting guys that are once, you know, 10, 15-year types of players, and they're coming along, and that's no different than any other time. So you guys are definitely faster. They're in better shape. They're, you know, working out, and in the workout programs are more scientific. They're more individualized and stuff like that. So you're seeing results faster at a younger age. And teams and colleges and obviously pros aren't developing players like they did when I was coming out of college or coming out of high school. And even in the college, back when I was coming out, they'd draft a guy and they know that they would have to develop him for a year or two. You know, teams can't afford to do that now. They have to get instant results. And so it all kind of works together. And it's interesting how you see, you know, a kid come out of high school and he's already at his peak, and see how he has to adjust his game in order to keep improving.
So then, do you see, along your career, you played eight seasons in the NFL, what do you feel your biggest accomplishment has been? And it doesn't even need to be on the field, but at this point in your life, what do you feel has been your biggest accomplishment yet?
Oh, probably, you know, obviously being a dad, you know, with my kids. That supersedes any type of football accomplishment, even though football is great. That's probably number one, you know, on the field, you know, making it to the NFL, leading the league in tackles and stuff like that. It was probably.
Yeah, second.
So that was probably second. Third would probably be being, you know, the first alternate for the Pro Bowl. And that's probably that. And then anything after that, kind of insignificant. You know, everybody's done the whole, you know, turnovers and interceptions and stuff like that. So those are probably my top three.
So you actually did some research based on divorce rates in the NFL, and I was looking at it. The numbers were between what I was seeing, just looking at it briefly, was between 60 and 80% that the NFL, just looking at NFL divorce rates. What made you look into that?
Oh, I mean, within 2 years, it's around 86%, and it's just interesting when, you know, I talk to, you know, any kid or even I'm on the, you know, radio shows like yours or anything like that. It's just that, you know, obviously you always hear, if I knew then what I know now, obviously things would be different. But, you know, everything is a business. You know, you build your brand, and, you know, when you think of Apple, you know, Apple is built through a brand. So every athlete, you built your brand. So anybody that comes into contact with you is essentially, it's a business relationship. You know, when you look at the true meaning of marriage, comes from the Greek word of a business relationship. So you have to treat it that way. And people are coming towards you or to you as a business relationship, whether it's whether it's marriage or a true business relationship, they're trying to gain something by being with you. So sometimes it doesn't bode well for an athlete because you never win. And because the one thing I have realized, the person with the money never comes out on top. It's always you're giving somebody else something. So what's the point of doing it at that point in time in your life? And that's not being totally against marriage or women or anything like that. It's just a fact. I mean, the facts are the facts, and people are people. And that's just the way people are operating with this.
So then did you attempt to go to the NFL or do anything to try to pitch this idea, or was this kind of just a personal thing?
No, I didn't. I wasn't trying to pitch the idea. It was just, you know, it was something I really realized through my personal experience. And then I'm an adult now. I'm 38, you know, versus 22. That's 16 years of experience. You know, the NFL probably educates the guys, but I think maybe they could, you know, do a little bit better with some grassroots type of deal with former players to be a really, really good mentors. And it doesn't have to be the guys that were your best players to be mentors to kids or to the guys that are coming in. It could be the guys that, like myself, or even maybe play 1 or 2 years, because, you know, everybody sees the Peyton Mannings and Eli Mannings and all that. You know, those aren't the majority of the league. You know, the majority of the league is not even Jay Foreman and other guys that are, you know, 2 or 3 years, 4 years into the league, and then they're not playing anymore. But that's the nuts and bolts of the NFL, and that's what a lot of fans don't really understand.
So then currently you're a football analyst, and you're working with the Texans and University of Nebraska. What do you see, the difference in offensive scheme and how it affects the game today versus when you played?
Oh, you know, really, you know, when you look at it, it looks different. But in reality, it's the same thing. Like, you see a lot of spread offenses in these zone reads.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, that's the option that they used to run while I was at Nebraska, except for those players already in their place, you know, spreading out. And what it's doing is it's putting the onus on one or two positions, primarily on the edges, to be, you know, physical at the point of attack, have good technique, and be smart football players. And what they're doing is they're spreading everybody out. And so if you're not a good tackling team in the open field, you're going to see a lot of big runners. When you look at Oregon, when they're humming, they're not getting touched to in the second and third level, but they're running the same concepts as they did when I was at Nebraska. And that's the thing that's interesting, because people forget that when we were in Nebraska, we ran an up-tempo option type of football, and that's how we wore teams down. And it's the same offense if you just have us at the end of the play spread out. But now they're just starting people out there with the spread in those positions and running the same place.
Well, and Nebraska had a big win last week against Miami, so I guess you have some bragging rights over your dad right now. But they're 4-0 right now, Nebraska is. What do you feel, you know, that they can do that they need to stay focused on to have a solid year this year?
They just need to, you know, obviously improve every week. You know, I think that they have a camaraderie on this team. I think they haven't had in a while. You know, they're playing Illinois this week, and let's face it, they should beat Illinois. They beat them pretty good. They need to come out and play well, because they have a big game the following week against Michigan State. And that's always been the Achilles heel in Nebraska. Have a big win, stub our toes next week. And, you know, they need to mature and become a well-oiled machine, and then they'll be fine, and they'll be in the race for the Big Ten at the end of the year.
So, Jim, I ask you one last question, and then I'm going to let you go. But give us one piece of advice that you would want young players to know out there that you don't feel that maybe necessarily hear a lot, or just coming from you who've made the journey that they're wanting to you know, follow.
Oh, you know, the biggest thing, you know, in light a lot of the bad publicity that's going on with the NFL is really, you know, maybe not just for players, but just people in general, young people, old people, my age, your age, is really, you know, learn to respect yourself and respect others. That's what it comes down to. You know, you can look at the whole concept of everything, what happened, you know, why it happened. It comes down to respect. If I can respect you and you respect me, we can generally sit down and figure out our problems. And then when you respect each other, then good things will come to you in the back end. As far as playing on the field and the players going into college, I'd really tell them, look, man, build your brand, be yourself, but everybody's not going to be an All-American. Everybody can't be an All-American. There's only 11 offense and 11 defense, and that goes for all conference itself. But you can be the All-American Jay Foreman. You can be the All-American, you know, John Smith. If you're the All-American at what you do, you will get your accolades and the fruits of your labor sooner or later.
Jay, great way to end. We appreciate having you on tonight, and you're always welcome to come back and speak with us again.
All right, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you guys for tuning in tonight, and we hope Jay coming on and giving you his input will help your own football and life journey. We're excited to announce that we will be hosting a BYGP recruiting experience at San Jose State University on Saturday, October 4th. That is next Saturday, guys. This experience will include game tickets, sideline passes, and also you can meet and greet the San Jose State and UNLV coaches. Great, great opportunity right there. If you guys are a BYGP athlete, your name is already in the drawing for a chance to win this experience. But if you are not a BYGP athlete, check us out on our website at www.beforeyougopro.com for more information about this. BYGP TV will be attending the Cal versus Colorado game this Saturday to capture all the excitement of College Game Day festivities. Kickoff starts at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. On Tuesday, tune in at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time, we will be speaking with Johnny Morton. Morton had a great 12-year career in the NFL as a wide receiver and was drafted out of USC in 1994 in the first round at pick 21 by the Detroit Lions. We will be discussing his career along with him becoming a certified in fascial stretch therapy. He now specializes as a sports flexibility joint decompression therapist. This season, he's also in a position as an assistant coach intern with the Jacksonville Jaguars as well. This is going to be a fabulous show, guys, because stretching, I know it doesn't sound as fun, but it's super important for your body and to maintain your career as you go along. This is Ashley Goodman signing off for BYGP and the rest of the BYGP team. Have a good night.